Welcome to a special MLG recap for Podtacular. This is Dust Storm, and I'm joined by Greg. We're the only two awake this early in the morning.
Woo! We didn't report at midnight or at 6 in the morning.
It's like any time where it's not during regular hours.
Yes.
We can record with Greg.
So for all of you guys that want us to do a live show, if you guys are willing to wake up this early, let us know. Because that's where we're going to be doing it.
Or you just need to figure out a schedule where you can actually record at a regular time.
Yes.
I think Sunday would probably be the best for that. We'll figure that out until you know.
Anyways, Greg, you didn't get a chance to come.
Because, no, that's what she said.
Oh, shush.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to go. I guess there are a few reasons, but, you know, life happens.
Yeah.
We're actually really considering if they do go to New York next year, that I think we're going to go to if they do like Meadowlands, we're probably going to try to go to Meadowlands. I've never been to New York, and my girlfriend loves it, so we're going to try to go on there.
Well, if they do Dallas again, I'm definitely going again. And if they do somewhere up by the D.C. area over the summer while I'm interning up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I would definitely try to hit up one of those events.
Well, hopefully they announce soon what the events are going to be, because they have not announced a thing. And I think it's kind of lacking on their part. They should tell us. Wait.
No, where it is yet.
Yeah. It must be because, I mean, I don't know. There's still that whole talk about Disney buying them. And so I don't really know exactly what they're considering or what's going on.
We'll see.
Yeah. We will see. Anywho, let's go on to what we're going to talk about, the national championships.
Well, we're kind of already talking about it.
Well, I mean, stop talking about the future. Let's talk about the now. Okay. I'm going to assume a lot of you got to watch, and not everybody. Since you got to go, was there a moment that you said that you liked the most? Like, I know you got to play Killzone. I know you got to interview Walshy, Mazik and whatnot, but was there like a favorite time for you?
I don't know, just watching a lot of these games and how close a lot of them were. Pretty much it was status quo, Carbon, final boss, and I believe Trigger's Down were the top four. And whenever they were playing against each other, like at least half of their games were like neck and neck. Yeah, I believe this was the championship win. I have to go back and check. All these games are boring for me right now because it's early. But I believe the last game was Oddball on Guardian. And Status Quo had a chance to come back. There was like 45 seconds and Status Quo needed about 30 to take the lead. And Final Boss just kept pushing. They backed into Shotgun Hall. And Pistola finally managed to take out whoever was holding the ball and take an extra 5 points until the game ended. So that was a cool moment. All those like really close ones. Where, like, one team wasn't anything, came back and won the Team Slayer by one kill or something like that. Those were just fun to watch.
I was surprised to see Status Quo in the end. I mean, they've been playing really good lately, but I think overall the Instinct is a much better team.
Yeah.
But recently, I think it was the last two tournaments they've gotten second. Don't quote me, because I don't have it in front of me.
Status Quo?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I don't see.
I just know this was Final Boss was the only team to get the 3P.
Well, I think. Well, yeah, that's true. In a row.
Which is kind of amazing to do it for the last event for Halo 3.
Yeah, I mean, if you gotta think about it, Ogre 2 is the only person now to win a national championship in every Halo game so far. He won it in Halo 1. Of course he won it in Halo 2. And then Halo 3, he got the last one. So
So you're predicting the same thing for Reach?
I don't know. I mean, if you know anything about Final Boss and watched them, it took them a while to get a good team.
Well, they have a good one now.
Yeah, to compete at the top. Yeah, I mean, that's really what changed it was Fear itself came on around early last year, and everybody thought that was a dumb move. But just because they weren't performing well, and they were trying to figure out their fourth, and then eventually Triggers Down dropped Pistola. And then, I mean, of course, that was just no-brainer that would be the best pickup for them. And then ever since they got him, they've been at the top. Right. They've been Instinct. But, I mean, Instinct has been playing as well. So.
I mean, Pistola was dropping headshots like crazy this weekend.
Dropping heads and busting a move. That's what he does. But yeah, I mean, I think that I couldn't say that this final boss is better than the final boss of Halo 3. I mean, of Halo 2, but it's definitely a good team. I think Ogre 2 and like Fear Itself, Pistola, and all of them, they're doing a really good. Is it Mazix their coach? Correct.
Yes.
This is his first time coaching them, or is this his second event?
He was with Believe the Hype last year.
Last year? Yeah, okay.
And now he's with Final Boss. Final Boss picked him up.
Was it this whole year? I don't know.
He was with Final Boss, I believe, this whole year. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it's that whole team. They just seem to be clicking and doing really good.
Yeah. And so he's won two championships in a row now.
Yes, he won last year with Status Believe the Hype.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from, but they won the championship last year. I don't remember.
Yeah, won with Final Boss this year, so. But I have to give major props to him for letting me hang out with him for a good amount of the event. Like, I met him Friday night when I was trying to meet up with Josh, and he was just walking by, and when he walked away, I was asking Josh for who's listening. It's Anti-Pro for Arm the Flag. I'm like, who is that guy? He's like, it's the coach from Final Boss. I'm like, what?
So he was standing around watching you guys or something?
No, well, we were talking in the hotel, trying to figure out what we were going to do, if we were going to go out and get some food or have drinks or something.
Uh-huh.
I ended up taking basically the whole photographing staff to TGI Fridays, and this was like at 12:30 at night.
Oh, boy.
Or, no, I'm sorry, take that back.
So you
1 o'clock.
You paid for them?
No. I was designated driver because they were getting drinks.
Okay. I didn't know if you were paying for them.
No. No, they get their food expenses paid for them. I'm not going to pay for that.
You should have them pay for you. Jeez.
Yeah, I thought about that afterwards, but I wouldn't know how well that would go over.
Is that how you get to go on main stage and everything and take pictures with them because of Mazix?
I don't necessarily know if it was because of Mazix, but it was definitely because of Mazix that we got to hang out in the player lounge almost all Sunday.
Who'd you guys end up meeting up with?
I did the interview with Mazix, and we'll play that later in the show. And we also did the interview with Walshy.
Is there anybody else that you wanted to interview, or did you ask anybody else?
I wanted to interview Pistola after the championship round. But Mazix said there was probably not going to be a way to do that, so I decided next year for an event would probably do that. But it would have been nice to get some more people. I just didn't really want to kind of take too much advantage of the situation that we were in the players' lounge.
Yeah. We're here to interview everybody before we get kicked out.
I mean, next time we were thinking about maybe just having an open mic. And having people come in and out and just kind of having a little sign that says, we're podcasting if you want to talk about anything.
I don't know about if we could do that in the players' lounge, but we'll see.
Well, apparently, Saturday they listen the whole time, and then Sunday, the security person standing in front of the players' lounge was like, I'm not sure if you can go in there. And I said, well, I was in there yesterday. And I'm doing an interview, so she let me in. And apparently, someone else went to go get a different security officer. And by that time, we were actually recording. And Mazix said, well, we're doing an interview. And because it's quiet in here, we decided to do it in here. And he's like, okay. And he left. We just hung out in there the rest of the day until the championship.
That's crazy. They were going to kick you guys out.
Play with the pros a little bit, though. There was some open slots, and Ace and I asked if we could jump in, and they said sure.
You guys get your butt kicked?
Yeah, but...
Did you guys play Reach or 3?
It was 3, because all their warm-up stuff was FFA Heretic.
Okay.
Actually, the last two games I was playing with practicing with them, I was not in the bottom, so...
Oh, that's good. I was at
the bottom of the list.
Who'd you get to play against? Like, pretty much everybody?
Well, Ace played against... Or was playing with Dynasty, I think. Or no, Final Boss. Either Final Boss or Dynasty. And then I was playing with Status Quo.
Oh, cool. Well, I mean, I don't know. Is there anything else that you wanted to particularly say about it?
Was there kind of anything that stuck out to you from the event that kind of made this one special on the media side, since the last Halo 3 one?
I kind of watched mostly the Reach event because Halo 3 seems to be what's going the wayside, and the Halo 3 event, or the Reach event, was very exciting.
Yeah, we didn't cover the Reach event that much, so...
On the Reach side of things, most of the teams who placed in the top, I mean, it's a combine event, so it's nothing, it doesn't really mean anything. It does mean some for, like, points and whatnot, but not any kind of official anything that's going on. And most of the teams who placed in the top are not in any known, well-known teams. I guess it's just because the pro teams haven't had enough time to play, or they're not taking it really too serious at the moment. You know, they're just kind of getting experience under their belts.
Right. But
it was just very fun to watch how Reach has played in I've honestly never even played an MLG game type on Reach yet.
Yeah. So, well, I think they only have 3 maps lined up, which was
like Asylum.
The Ivory Tower one.
Yeah.
The Sanctuary remake. That's all metallic, and I believe it was Zealot, maybe?
Yeah, I think
those were the 3.
Yeah.
I think those were the 3.
Did you get to watch any of it? Yeah.
I mean, we saw the booths where they were playing it, but we really didn't stop to watch that much.
Did you get to stop and see any of the StarCraft or Smash Brothers?
Those Smash Brothers guys are loud. They get rowdy. They get really rowdy.
Would you say that it was fun to watch? I mean, did you get to watch any of them?
The Brawl stuff, no. The StarCraft, we watched for about 30 minutes.
Is that cool, or was it...
Well, I do like the fact that for StarCraft, they do have that spectator mode for the announcers, where they can go in and actually kind of free talk about, which I wish Halo Reach kind of actually implemented this, and I actually talked to Mazik about this when I interviewed him, but... You would think with the popularity of Halo, they would have introduced some kind of spectator mode by now for MLG in tournaments like that.
Yeah.
You would think. Like, don't make it like Xbox Live compatible, but just make it System Link. Because that's all they're doing, is System Link. And the System Link can definitely handle the bandwidth.
Did he talk about you in this? Mazik just posted his Dallas blog. I don't know if he mentioned you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's been mentioning his blog and his Twitter, but he hasn't provided the link, so you might have to link it to me.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
But the event was very fun. I think there was very good gameplay on it. Probably one of the best that we've seen, at least this year. I wouldn't say of all.
It was some of the best gameplay I've seen, and I didn't realize how much I missed Halo 3 until I played it at Dallas. It's like, I want to go back and play some more of that.
Oh, he does talk about you. He says,
Oh, really?
Yeah. He says, after I got dressed in my hair, I started to head down to the venue to do an interview with Dustin from Podtacular. Blah, blah, blah. Actually, that's the only time he ever mentions this. Thank
you. Dustin, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So he does say that, he doesn't really mention too much other than that.
Awesome! Podtacular shout out. But yeah. So it was, I mean, and I have to give Josh props for Because I met up with him at the right time to get met up with Mazik. And
did you see him outside before you went in? Did you pay for passes and go inside and see?
No. This we actually waited for like 30 minutes to get passes. And apparently the guy that was like Josh went back and talked to the guy who was supposed to give us passes. And then he came back. He texted me. He's like, okay, he'll be out in a few minutes with the passes.
Mm.
And he said it was an Asian guy. I'm like, okay.
So
we waited at the exit for about 15 minutes. I text him back. Like, we haven't seen him yet. 15 other minutes, we still haven't seen him. 5 minutes later, I call him. He gets out here. And apparently, it was the guy at the booth that was already out there. We were expecting him to come out the exit, see us, and point us over to the table to get the passes, and not necessarily just come out to the table, wait for us there for 30 minutes. And we're standing there looking like we're waiting for someone, and it's like, you think someone would at least say something to us?
Yeah.
I think we're getting strange looks from the security officers while we were waiting.
Well, that's good that you guys got in there, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I had a blast. I mean, I'm definitely glad I went to this event. It was
so...
It was worth the hotel, despite you not coming.
Was the interview with Mazik or the interview with Shishka better?
I would say Shishka was better, just because we got more of a chance to like sit down and talk with him, and we had like a whole round table of people in discussion.
Yeah.
Where for Mazik, it was just me and him. I still think for getting a 30 to 40 minute interview with someone is great for 1-on-1. But I think the Shishka one was just ended up being better quality because of how many people we had there asking questions.
Yeah. Do you think that we could interview Mazik in the future again?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, cool.
I would say next event that we go that I go to and he's there, definitely hit him up.
Maybe we can get somebody from like interview Pistola or something too.
Oh yeah, Pistola or Order 2 or any of those guys really.
Is there anything that you're expecting to see with Reach that you are excited to see? I don't know. You don't. Whenever you play Reach, I think you've been saying that you're not really.
I haven't had time to play on matchmaking that much, unless it's like a Friday night with friends who are like, let's get on and play. It's like, okay. So, aside from that, any of the multiplayer stuff I do is for the daily challenges for the credits.
Yeah.
I mean, if there were more friends on that sent me... Well, I gotta have time first. That's my big issue, is wrapping up school. It's the end of the semester. I've got
finals coming up.
Different projects going on. I have finals coming up and all that, but definitely over...
Are you gonna go to school next semester?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still have another year to do my master's. But
I didn't know if you were gonna like go straight to it.
Oh yeah, I mean I don't really see a reason why not to, because I'm already taking grad classes this semester, so I might as well go ahead and finish since I've started.
We'll just go ahead and go knock it out.
Yep, pretty much. But I mean, definitely over the Christmas break I will be kind of open to playing with people more than I am now because of school.
That's good. Yeah, I want to definitely get in on some MLG matches, because I haven't played anything.
I haven't played any MLG stuff.
Would you want to play?
I mean, yeah, eventually, at some point. But let's talk about, since MLG is going, its next step is Reach. Like, this was the last year that Halo 3 is going to be on the circuit, and they're moving to all Reach next year. And I talked to Mazik about this, and we hear in the interview where he hasn't played it that much, like maybe at most 24 hours or something like that. So he's really not sure how the gameplay is going to be, but he has a strong feeling where the gameplay is not going to really affect their team dynamic. And I was wondering kind of what you thought, since you have the reticle bloom now, you have the armor abilities. Like, what do you think, how would that affect MLG? Because I know definitely from Halo 2 to Halo 3, there are definitely some players that phased in and phased out because of the different play style.
Yeah, well, I can definitely tell you that the Bloom is not going to be that big of a deal for the pros. Now, it'll pretty much allow some people to not get that far, and then allow some people who master it to go be able to become a pro. But I think that the biggest thing that the Bloom's going to do is make a skill gap. Some people are just going to figure out how it works, and some people just don't. I mean, you have it in every matchmaking game. Some guy shooting at you, and you have no shield, and he keeps missing. I mean, because he or she just obviously doesn't understand it. So that's what the Bloom is going to do. I don't think it's really going to change gameplay up that much. Obviously, it's going to make it a little bit slower, but the biggest thing it's going to do is create a skill gap between people. Now, with the armor abilities, it's going to be more of a power-up item, so... unless they do what Walshy said in your interview, he said that he would like to have sprint, you know, all the time. Now, if they did that, it would just make the game faster, as well as make it slower with the Bloom so it could counteract each other. Because I remember Walshy was saying the game just feels too slow. You know, it's going to be boring to watch and everything. It is kind of boring to watch. Like, what was it yesterday I was playing, and I got a triple kill with one sniper shot, and I was watching through it, and I was like, this is so boring to watch. it's fun to play, it's just boring to watch. So I think that the sprint would definitely help out and, you know, make it seem like more of a fun experience, but it may only work on Slayer. I don't know if they want to add it in for them. That's the reason probably why. They just don't want to make it unfair in ball and flag. It'll give somebody an unfair advantage. Even if they give it to everybody, sprint souls sometimes makes an unfair advantage in those kind of game types. But not really in Slayer. I don't really see them using too many armor abilities. I see most people, at least in the community, not or wanting less is more type of deal. They already have jetpacks, so they might keep that for certain... like a power-up thing. I don't really see the armor abilities affecting it too much, except for sprint. As opposed to, supposedly, they may have it also as power-ups. Like, I could see how armor lock would help out. You know, if you're going to be going in for the flag, make your armor lock to go in, armor lock get their attention, and everybody else start unloading on them. I could see that.
Right.
I can't really see too much with camo, because I think that what they would rather do is just have the camo power-up ability rather than the armor ability. The thing where you just run into it and then you got camo.
Right.
I would assume...
The thing with the camo power-up, though, it still acts like the armor ability, where if you move around quickly... Or maybe that's a setting you can change, I don't know. I don't think it is.
I haven't messed with Forge too much to understand that, so I don't think you can change it. And then you can get Overshield again, so I'm pretty sure that they'll bring Overshield back.
I
think the reason why that MLG hasn't, or that a lot of people complained about how it plays, I haven't played it.
I can't say this. And the dog goes crazy.
You done? Thank you. Come here. I don't remember what the heck I was saying though.
We were talking about the power ups.
I mean, I don't really see. I mean, I can see Overshield coming as not an ability though. You know, putting it on the map as something that people would go.
Right, like how it is in Halo 3.
Can you time them? I don't know. Can you time them in Forge, or are they just on the map? I would assume you could put a time on them again.
Yeah, you can set respawn times.
The biggest thing that's going to change in Reach, though, is just the gameplay style, but how you jump. Jump just seems lower. I don't know. It seems like that they're overall slower. So MLG's going to have to figure out a way to keep the game pace quicker and make people excited about it, like through the live stream. Playing it's a lot different than watching it. Halo 3 is fun to watch because... You know, it's fast, it's exciting, there's a lot of stuff going on, you can get no scopes. It's kind of harder to do those sort of things, and easier at the same time, and Reach, it just matters what your skill is. If everybody's at the same skill level, I just see it as being very boring.
Right.
Unless they figure out some kind of way to make it faster. And I think that there are a lot of good ideas being tossed around, just MLG's not worrying about it just yet, because they want to get Halo 3 behind them. And that's probably why they haven't announced any of the circuits events yet, because they don't really know what they're going to be doing with Reach.
That could be true.
Though I don't think it'll take them very long. I think that they'll figure it out very quickly, because it's pretty evident what the things are that they need to do. A lot of people have been playing and figuring out that aren't really MLG people, and I'm pretty sure that they're going to reach out to the community and ask questions. They've done it in the past, so I'm pretty sure that they'll do it again.
Yeah, and they'll probably already have forged maps ready to go.
Yeah, they just haven't talked. I mean, there's got to be some people that are working on stuff, and they've got to be testing it, and I'm pretty sure some of the actual pro players are getting into it and testing it, some stuff.
I just don't hope they reforge some of the stuff from Foundry. I hope they forge new maps.
Oh, you mean like... Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Amplified or Onslaught again. Onslaught was very fun. Amplify was pretty cool as well. I don't think
new people. But it needs new maps.
Yeah, definitely.
If it were up to me, I would vote for a different map set each year. Like, I mean, there would be still a basic set.
Would be the same thing with Sanctuary. You wouldn't want Sanctuary because they have Sanctuary in 2. So would you want it in Reach?
I mean, something like that's fine, but there should be like a set of maps that are specific to that year, and then every year there's new maps that come out.
Oh, so there could be, like, let's say we had Pit, Guardian, Narrows, and then one year we have Onslaught, next year we have another map, next year we have another.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything you think they could change for the, since you were there for the last one? The only complaint I've ever had, the ones I've gone to, is that they try to make it big, but they don't, like, it's really small. If they rent out this huge room and then there's just a lot of space where they're not doing anything with, did they do that again?
This year, the space seemed like it was well managed.
Okay.
You had the tourney stuff on the right, then going down the wall, it was the Call of Duty, then the big FFA area. And then one of the PlayStations, a secondary stage, and then main stage, and then coming back is another secondary station, the Dr. Pepper booth, the Doritos tent.
Was it the same place as last year?
Yeah, same place. And then you had StarCraft area that was in another room, and then you had the Stride Gum booth again.
They did the EA Sports thing again?
No, they didn't, actually.
They didn't even know that.
And then Brawl was basically smack dab in the middle of it right when you walked in.
Is there anything you think they could improve on? Because it seems like for me one big thing that's bad about it is that they kind of force you to stand. I think that they should have some more seating areas around.
Well,
I mean, everybody sits
like
on the floor.
For something like that, it's not really... I mean, it would... I guess you could basically set up an area... kind of like a common area where people can go and eat and sit down. Like, they have room to do that kind of thing.
What about a concession stand? Should they put a concession stand?
Well, I mean, they already have the Doritos booth, the Dr. Pepper booth. That's already handing out stuff, so... They're really not going to put out a concession stand when they have sponsors giving them stuff.
Okay. What were they handing out? How much Dr. Pepper, how much Doritos?
I know they were handing out, like, candy, but it was a lot. And then they had the Hot Pockets...
Slides. Oh, yeah. Oh, did you get to have an unlimited amount of those too?
We didn't even have any of them.
I wouldn't try. They look nasty, but
oh no, sorry. They were looking hungry when we got hungry when we were sitting in the players' lounge. Like lunchtime came, it's like, man, those things look good. But we did decide that they need to come up with new commercials because it's pretty bad when you get the same set of commercials every 30 minutes.
Oh, you mean MLG?
Yeah.
I think that they have a lot of potential to get a lot more sponsors. I don't really know. Maybe it could be the economy thing that people aren't wanting to spend money. I don't really know about all that. But
another thing about venue was like a good majority of people stayed until the finals of the winning and losing bracket. Then people started to slowly dwindle out. And actually, for the championship round, just about everyone was there was on stage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It
wasn't like that last year. Remember last year, the entire place was packed.
Yeah, this year, the only, pretty much
like maybe about 50 people, or maybe 50 or 100 people or so were outside of main stage, and that was it.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Jeez, the year
that was kind of disappointing to see.
The year before they were.
It was packed, yeah.
There were hundreds of. It was ridiculous how many people were there.
For the finals, yeah.
Yeah.
This year it was different, though. I'm not sure why. I mean, the venue seemed like it definitely had more people.
Overall
than Dallas last year, but the turnout for the finals was just kind of shocking.
Do you think status quo will carry on in the reach? Because you know they just kind of came sprinting on here at the end. I don't particularly expect it, but
I'm not sure. I mean, I'll know how T Squared's going to transition over to Reach, or if he's even going to. I could see status quo kind of falling out for a bit. And maybe make a comeback. I really don't know, though. I mean, I definitely know, like, Carbon, Final Boss, those guys are definitely going to be in there for Reach.
Well, for Reach, status quo is ranked second at the moment.
So they might stay in.
Yeah, the top five teams at the moment are Final Boss, Status Quo, Instinct, Triggers Down, and Believe the Hype. It's the top.
You sure that's not the Halo 3 ranking?
The Halo 3 rankings are going to carry over.
Oh, well, I mean, I still think it's going to be kind of basically like a clean slate.
Oh, no, they're going to, it's going to carry over from this year, the points.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, they've done that every year with,
Like, did they carry over from Halo 2 to Halo 3?
Yeah, they did the same exact thing, yeah. Oh.
Okay. But, I mean, I still think from a ranking standpoint, we're going to see completely different ranks. Just with them getting used to it.
Do you think that we could see, because there is a problem with Reach that it is slow and kind of boring, could you see Black Ops taking over? Could you see that?
What are you clicking on?
Oh, my mouse, sorry. I'm reading a few things right now. Okay.
Black Ops? I don't know. Because I haven't played it at all, and I'm not going to be playing it for a while. So I'm not really sure. I mean, the Modern Warfare 4 didn't have that much attention. I mean, there was a small crowd of maybe 40 or 50 people watching, but other than that.
So you think that the competitive side is still on Halo?
Yeah, because it just seems like they really haven't set Call of Duty up to be competitive that much. I mean, it sounds like with some of the stuff that they changed in Black Ops, maybe. But from my standpoint, I still think Halo's going to be up there for the competitive side of MLG. And then you have StarCraft in here now, so that was a huge hit.
There's a lot of people watching StarCraft.
Oh my gosh, yeah. There were just about as many people watching StarCraft, I want to say probably the StarCraft Championship, as there was watching the Halo 3 Championship. Maybe a little less, but almost the same. Which just tells you how big that is now.
I don't see how, Black Ops would be bad for the event, but could you see...
Cause I know they'll definitely have it. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't think it would be... It's going to grow as much popularity as Halo already has.
Oh, do you think it'd be a better idea to keep Halo and add Killzone? Does it, you know, make some diversity between the consoles? Maybe even add GoldenEye for some from the Wii? Because GoldenEye is a very, very, very effective, solid game.
Wii is always going to be Brawl. The Wii is always... I have a strong feeling it's always going to stay with Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, on the Wii.
That franchise. And then the PCs... It's going to be StarCraft. It's going to be all the strategy stuff. Like, it was WoW before. I mean, it's not necessarily strategy, but between that and StarCraft, those are going to be the two that dominate the PC, And you have Halo 3 on the Xbox, Call of Duty. And Killzone 3, I don't know, I thought it was fun. Definitely have to wait to see the release of Killzone 3 before I make any more opinions on that.
Yeah. So
it has potential.
Let me see. Let me hear your predictions. Are we going to see Sonic Riders? I need an honest opinion on the Kinect. Are we going to see Sonic Riders?
If I see Kinect on the MLG circuit, I'm going to be very disappointed. To be perfectly honest, I don't think Kinect belongs on any professional circuit.
I think it'd be cool for Microsoft to get it out there a little bit, because it's fun. Kinect, let's be downright honest and honest with it. It is pure fun. It's not a gimmick.
But MLG is not about fun. It's about competitiveness and fun. Yeah. It's another factor if it takes.
I could see Dance Central. That's really cool.
What on MLG? No.
I can see it. I'm just saying. I wouldn't say on MLG, but I could see somebody doing it, and it being on like the Today Show or something.
I would disagree.
Are there any games you see picked up, like maybe Battlefield or just something? I think they really need a PC game, because
they have StarCraft.
No, I mean a PC first person shooter. They really need to get a PC like Counter-Strike or something.
I mean, I think personally, I think TF2 is a win.
Oh, you think TF2?
They should. I think if you were going to put a PC game on the circuit that was first person shooter, you would put TF2.
Okay. Is there another?
There would be people that disagree with me. I've actually disagreed with this with myself before, but the more I see it, the more it makes sense. You're welcome, Lancelot, if you're listening. But TF2, I mean, yeah, it's more of a fun game, but it can also be very competitive.
Are there any right at the moment, like, pro gaming leagues for PC games other than StarCraft?
I'm sure there is. Like, I'm sure each like highly ranked title has its own kind of tournament style thing somewhere. Like, I'm pretty sure TF2 already does. Counter-Strike Source, maybe. I know it's for the hardcore fans of Counter-Strike Source that they love the game.
I think they're really picking up. They have to add something. So I don't think keeping the same games. I mean, regardless, I think they have to add Call of Duty, because you can't just stay in the Halo sphere.
They already have Call of Duty.
I mean, they're gonna have to. I mean, it sells more copies. They're gonna have to find some kind of way to get Treyarch. It's gonna have to help them.
No. I'm not saying Call of Duty is not gonna be there. I'm just saying that it's definitely not gonna be as popular.
Oh, okay.
Modern Warfare 2 is already there, so they're definitely gonna keep Call of Duty in there. Halo 3, I think, just has more appeal. Because it was basically the first, and it caught fire, and that's what people follow.
Yeah.
If Call of Duty was first, and if it got as much hype as Halo did, they would probably be one of the ones on top right now.
Yeah, that's true. So you really don't think, is there a place for Reach next year that MLG should go? Like a area? Should they go to Europe? Should they go to Canada? Even though they've been to Toronto, I mean, is there anywhere else you think they should go? Maybe Los Angeles or something? I think Britain or like Amsterdam would be a perfect addition for them. But they would have to pay for all the players to go.
I don't think they have enough sponsors to get that far, to be honest.
Because there are a lot of people over in Europe that really enjoy it. And I think that it would open up and be a nice addition for them. But is there a place like Chicago?
Tulsa?
is it big? I mean, yeah, if you want to. I don't care if he wants to come in.
Tulsa's a small city. They probably wouldn't come here.
It just seems like that they need to add something, a little more substance, because it's kind of – it's getting overall, like, when you go to the event, it's awesome. It's just they don't do it enough. Like, the last two events, they're about a month in between. If they did that all year, I think that it would be really big. It would be really hype. Instead of doing it about every – because they didn't have the first one until, like, June, and then they had five between June and November.
Wait, this year?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that close together. Yeah, I know these last few events were kind of crammed together. But it wasn't that close, was it?
Let's see. Orlando was in April. Columbus was in June. Raleigh was in August. D.C. was in October. And Dallas was in November. So, I mean, they're evenly spread out, but I think if they did it, like, once a month...
Yeah, it was definitely too quick. I think.
What, you think it was too quick between the last two? And obviously, I think it was good, because I think that's what they carried the momentum over, was that people had sort of fresh in their minds.
Well, yeah. But I still think that they need to work on spacing the events out a little bit better.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. From the standpoint of going to other places, I definitely think with how many people are fans in Britain that they should at least try to venture there at some point.
Yeah, I think eventually they're going to eventually head over to Europe. I just didn't know if 2011 would be the year that they do it. Maybe they should do it when the economy is a little bit better. But I mean, for gameplay wise at the event, was there any team particularly that you were surprised? Maybe Carbon not doing well at all, or because Carbon didn't win a game. Series. Or were you surprised the final boss came back and won it?
I honestly didn't. I didn't have any team I was rooting for going into this. And I ended up rooting for Final Boss because I met Magic on the first night I was there. But other than that, I watched Status Quo play against Dynasty. That was the first game I watched on main stage. And other than that, I was rooting for Dynasty. Kind of there at the beginning.
Is there a reason why? I don't really...
I don't know, just the underdogs, I guess.
Oh, okay. It just seemed like this year there was a lot of big-name pro teams who just weren't there at the final.
Like?
Like Legit, Nated. Try to throw out some... There was a lot of people who were playing in the Reach Combine.
Yeah.
I think Captain Anarchy... Strong Side, Karma, a lot of them didn't play in the Halo 3 event because they were playing in Reach. I guess because they weren't on teams, basically. Just, you know, Power came on. Not Power. The Warriors came on. And that basically knocked out a whole team. And, you know, they're pretty new, so I don't know if
right.
A lot of people know about... I mean, we know about them because they were in our tournament.
Yeah.
But I just know if a lot of people seem to know about them. So it was just kind of cool seeing a lot of people playing Reach who weren't going to be in Halo 3, but it kind of opened it up that certain people could have a chance to play at a high level. And as you said, the games were very close, so maybe it's kind of a good idea to kind of even it out. Get some pros, some new people in there, that it kind of evens out the matches.
Yeah.
I guess most of the close ones, though, were pros versus pros, or... Known pros versus known pros.
Right. Well, I definitely think, and I kind of wanted to mention this, but you could definitely tell from how Final Boss played against Status Quo, or at least I noticed this when I was watching them, that Final Boss had kind of a calm, cool atmosphere about him.
Yeah, like laid back.
Yeah, and Status Quo was kind of all uptight, tense, and I could just see T-Squared getting furious over some of the stuff, and it's like, if you're going to be that way, you're not going to play your best if you're not calm, thinking straight, which I think is one of the reasons why Final Boss did so well.
Yeah, they seem to have a good swagger, if that's how you call it.
Are you product placing now?
Yeah. Oh. I don't
got some jokes, boy.
I really don't know how it'll carry over to Reach, though, because as we've already seen in the Reach exhibition, the closest pro team or previous pro team would be Heaven and Earth, and they get 7th. And Perfect Storm got 9th. So that was Nated and Karma's team in Legit. So most of the pros are in place for that. Like Adrenaline Lush came in 16th. Ambush got 17th. So there were a lot of teams that didn't place really high. But there were some, like Darkest Hour got 4th.
I mean, especially their MLG team, since they've been focusing on Halo 3, they're definitely not going to probably be the best. Yeah. But I think now, since the circuit's not focusing on Halo 3 anymore, and once they start getting into the groove of Reach, they're just going to get back up there. Like, they might not be on top. Like, there's probably some other teams that have had more time to play with Reach that will... I can see probably about maybe 25% of the teams we'll see coming to the like the last two events or something will be new teams.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I could see that. I mean, I'm not saying
it's going to happen. Teams, but
I could see it happen.
What do you think about new players? I'm talking about new people, not
well, teams. I mean, new teams with new people.
But
I mean,
okay.
Like maybe they've been kind of here and there, but maybe Reach is a chance for them to kind of just shine.
You think a pro team will win the first event?
I definitely
previous pro team.
I think yes, just because a new team would probably it's kind of the whole emotional thing of getting to the championship and
getting scared and everything. I got
keeping that in check, not being nervous, that kind of thing.
Like, holy I'm actually in the championship.
Right. I think the benefit of having done one of these before will give these or existing pro players a chance. But once these teams finally get used to the limelight, they'll just dominate.
So is Pistola your favorite player now?
Yes, he is.
Are you going to be rooting for Final Boss in the first event?
Yes, I will be. Actually, Pistola asked me how tall I was, and I was like 6'5", and he's like, dang, that's tall. I wouldn't want to pick a fight with you. It's like, well, you're good at Halo. I wouldn't want to pick a fight with you in Halo.
You should have told him I wouldn't want to challenge you to a breakdance contest.
Breakdance? I can't breakdance. What are you talking about?
You said you wouldn't want to challenge him.
Oh.
He is known to bust a move from here.
Yeah, he busts a few moves on stage, that's for sure.
Well, I'm not really too sure. Do you have any other questions or anything else you want to bring up?
I mean, we still have the interview play that will come up after we're done talking. Yeah. So make sure you stick around for that. It's about a 30-minute long interview with Mazik, coach of Final Boss.
Yes. Does he go into any of their strategy? I mean, Halo 3 is over, so I mean,
it was nice to kind of get a coach's perspective because you see a lot of interviews with actual players. So one of the purposes behind this interview was to get a different perspective on the team dynamic. And I don't know if you knew the situation with Postola's father.
No.
Okay. Well, we talked about that a little bit and kind of how the team was coping and supporting him through this tough time. And the fact that he was pretty much on top of his game the whole time through the tournament, just dedicating it to his father was amazing to see.
I didn't hear anything about that. Nobody ever mentioned it.
They talked about it Saturday night.
Oh, they did?
Right before their game, yeah.
Oh, they talked about it on the...
On the stream, yeah.
Oh, okay. Did you watch the stream?
Oh, I mean, we were there on stage when they were talking about it.
Oh, okay.
It was definitely being broadcasted.
Oh, that's cool. I don't think I saw that part. I wasn't paying attention.
So... a few shout-outs for me is, again, shout-out to Mazik for letting me hang with him pretty much the entire event. And thanks to Anti-Pro from Arm the Flag, who, without him, I wouldn't have been able to meet Josh or get media passes. So yeah. Big shout-outs to him. You can check out his photos on Flickr.
Or MLG.com.
Or MLG.com. There's links.
make sure to check out my pictures, and there will be a post on the homepage soon about that when all the MLG stuff is up and alive.
Plus the interview to the Wall Street. It's already on YouTube, if it's not already on the website. When you hear
it's on the Wall Street interviews on WhatsApp, so shout outs to him for letting us do the interview. A. Scott got that set up, so thanks to him. Thanks to him for coming, even though he had to leave to get back to town before the championship started.
But he didn't have a class or something on Monday?
No, he just didn't want to have to be driving too late at night.
Oh, come on, Eddie's.
Well, I wouldn't want to be either.
How long did he drive? Was it 9 hours?
No, the drive was about 4 hours.
For him? That's it?
No, for him, about 8 hours. Sorry, I thought you were talking about me.
This is about 10 for me.
But
4 hours. I'm going to go move to Nashville or Memphis or wherever you want.
Yeah. Thanks to those guys. Definitely made the trip.
Thanks for attending, Rexic Leader, for not hanging out with us.
Yeah, I don't know how he missed that.
Did he play in the event?
I'm assuming he did.
So I don't remember if he played.
I didn't see him at all. Like, I remember seeing him last year, that one time. I didn't see him at all this year, though. And no clue he was there, no clue he was going. Like, I know I was making tons of announcements about going, and somehow I guess we missed each other.
Yeah. It happens.
So.
There's so much inner tubes that go between, sometimes you miss the most important ones.
Yeah. Make sure you do check out our videos that we posted. We have four of them. One is Ace playing Killzone 3. Another one is some of the pros playing Rock Band. Then we have I recorded Ace playing against some of the pros, and then we have the Walshy interview.
Cool.
And then there's the 30-minute interview coming up with Mazik. And make sure you check out all the photos I took.
We could invest in a good camera for next time. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I wish I had a good camera, but
my brother's got one.
A good camera is like $3,000.
I think that my brother, he's got like a three. He's got a, is it a HD 3D camera? I don't remember. He's got some kind of big ass camera.
HD 3D. What?
He does stuff for Animal Planet, so I don't know exactly what camera he has. Anywho, we'll get into that later.
Well, I know I just have my little thing, which it worked pretty well. But if I get a good camera for this event, I'd be planning on dropping like $700 on it.
Yeah,
you need that kind of a camera pictures that aren't as shitty as mine.
I'm a DSLR, but I don't have a video one. But anywho.
I mean, my camera worked pretty well. It's just you can see all the noise from how dark it is and just how it processes stuff. But other than that, it did what it was supposed to do. It got some neat shots. So.
Yeah. Your pictures are really nice on the...
Thank you.
On your Flickr, is that what it is?
No, it's Picasa.
Picasa, the Google one.
Yeah. I'm still not sure what image hosting I want to go with yet.
I don't really ever take pictures. So.
But yeah. And also shout out to the Final Boss team for letting me take a picture with them with the check.
Yes. Should see that. Is that on who took the picture?
What's the name of the guy that does the Dr. Pepper Game House thing?
Shibby?
Yeah, Shibby took it.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, it was with my camera, but he took it.
That's awesome. Were there people still on main stage when you guys were all doing that, or did everybody leave?
Most of the people were gone by then.
Well, you want to go ahead and start doing... Is that
in Morse code over there or something?
No. do you want to go ahead and start playing the interview?
We will go ahead and do that. So thanks, everyone, for... listening to our babble about MLG. Next up is the interview with Mazik. So until we hear you again, we will talk to you later.
Peace out.
Hello, Podtacular Land. This is Dust Storm reporting here from MLG Dallas for the last Halo 3 championship that will be on the MLG circuit. I'm here with Mazik.
Hello,
coach
hello.
Of Final Boss. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. We had a good night's sleep after our two series against Carbon and Status Quo last night. Able to edge everybody out 3-1 and another 3-1 and playing today for top two against Instinct in about a couple hours.
Yeah?
So
how
are
you feeling
psyched.
So far?
Dude, we're psyched. You know you're going to have a good tournament whenever you're sitting here at 1 a.m. after the tournament's done. You hop on Facebook and you get an instant message from one of your teammates saying, I can't sleep. I'm so ready for tomorrow. Everybody on our team is just feeling the same. We're just all hyped up. And we've been hyped up on this since D.C. and Raleigh. I mean, it's an incredible feeling just knowing you're going into a tournament, just feeling like you're going to play flawless.
Good. So yesterday your first game was against Carbon.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about your matchup just starting to get the first game? Because I noticed when you were playing, both teams kind of seemed a little slow. It was almost like it was the first game trying to just get used to playing for the first time for the championship. So tell us a little bit how that was from a coach's perspective.
Well, sitting behind him, I was a little bit worried at the first. It seemed like we got off to a slow start. We lost that first match. And basically what happened was we just weren't playing our Halo. We came in really, really overconfident of Carbon, and Carbon came out and really just hit us hard, like right off the bat with a great, solid teamwork. They were hard to kill. They just seemed to be playing really good Halo. They were very smart players. And, I mean, you're dealing with, like, two extremely good strategists against, like, a team that's really overconfident going in. I mean, basically, we were able to edge them out, but every single one of the games was very close. I mean, it took us a while to get hot, but it was right near the end of the series that Pistola started going insane. I think he ended with a plus 20.
Wow.
And right now, I think he's leading the entire leaderboards for the tournament, like plus 49.
Right.
So, I mean, it just takes us a while to get hot sometimes, but I mean, once we're hot, we're unbeatable. So.
And then your second matchup was against Status Quo.
Yeah.
And that was pretty awesome because I Got Your Pistola had some massive headshots yesterday, which was just out of the blue, some of them.
Yeah, he was playing out of his mind. He's got a lot going into this event that he's like betting it all on. He's actually coming out of a situation with his father who's just getting out of hospital. He had two blood clots sometime last week. One in his leg and one in his lungs, and he's just recovering. And it's amazing that you can be playing that kind of good Halo whenever you have that kind of stuff going on. But he's a really mature young guy, and he's put it behind him, and he's playing the best Halo of his life this weekend. If there's not a person in this league that I would rather have, like right there in front of me to coach, he's insane.
So when it comes to things like family issues with the team or stuff that can affect team dynamic, how do you kind of prep everyone to have them play their best despite all the circumstances that may be going on?
Well, whenever that happened, we all got together as a team and we talked it out. We made sure everybody was all right. We talked and we made sure that his father was going to be all right firsthand. This happened like during the 6-team LAN, so I mean, it was kind of like a shock at the time. And basically, we just all said, hey, you know, this is serious and, you know, we need to keep it in our minds, but we need to keep it in the most positive way possible. So basically what we said was that we were going to basically try to focus on the tournament at hand, and then we are going to dedicate this tournament to them. So we've actually got motivation and drive to try to make sure that we can finish this tournament.
We'll pause.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Alright.
Go ahead.
I need to get this signed.
One last match, you know?
It was Triggers Down.
Oh, they won?
Fans. So where were we? We were talking about
Family issues, how we got over them.
So for people wanting to get into MLG, I know this, you probably get this question a lot, but I'm just going to go ahead and ask anyway. For people getting into MLG, what's kind of the most important factor or characteristic that someone should have when trying to get into something like the MLG circuit?
Well, I think the most important thing about getting an MLG is realizing you're not putting the most important thing, which is your real life, at stake here. I've seen a lot of people that have like literally laid it all on the line and just tried to make this happen like a dream. And I've seen so many people fall. I was one of those people who almost fell into it. And thankfully, I was able to get on a really good team at the time when Snipedown got me on Triggers Down, and I've just been able to roll it ever since. I mean, I recommend people just try to find sponsors before you go out and invest thousands of dollars coming to these events.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's a great hobby and all, but you got to make sure you're not dropping out of school for it, make sure you're getting everything dealt with. But if you're going to sit there and try to be a pro player, you got to make sure you have the dedication to get in there and practice. You got to be able to sit there and, you know, say, hey, I know I wanted to go out tonight, but, you know, my team's here to scrim and we're all online at the same time. Let's, you know, let's try to organize this. Get on game battles. Get the right equipment. Astro Gaming headsets make all the difference when it comes to Xbox Live play. And Gunner Optics just give you that little bit of an edge for extended play. So, I mean, it's all about your preparation, your focus, and your equipment.
Right. Now, when it comes to schooling and stuff like that, I know Pistola is just about to turn 18. And I'm sure a lot of these other guys on the circuit are either still in high school or they're in college. What's kind of like a balance that you can attain between playing video games and making sure you actually take time to do your classwork?
Well, like I said, school and your future is the most important thing because nothing is guaranteed when it comes to MLG. You want to make sure that you're doing all your studies before you do any practicing. Heck, if you want to sit there and go out on a limb, you can say, hey, I'll do half my homework, get in there and play a couple games for a little bit, but make sure that you're not going to sit there and skip out on doing classwork, studying on for tests, because I probably have one of the most ideal people for that kind of situation. I have Victory X on my team. He's at Michigan State University, and that's one of the toughest universities in the North, and I got to tell you, the fact that he's a pro player at his level, studying, he puts all his studies first, and he's still able to come out here and do this. I mean, it comes down to a mental toughness. Can you sit there and say, hey, I've got to do this, and then I'll play?
Right.
I mean, if you have the mental toughness to do it, then all the more power to you. But never, ever put any type of video game over your studies. It's just not worth it.
You hear that, kids? Real life first before virtual life. So we always hear from the MLG players how they kind of mingle in with their team, what good strengths they're at. But we never really get a coach's side of the team dynamic. So tell us a little bit about what your duties are as a coach on an MLG team.
Well, basically the final boss, I'm just sitting there as a little bit of a voice to say, hey guys, you're doing good. You already know you're the best team out there. Let's just sit here. Rockets are coming up soon.
Right.
Let's buckle down. Let's get these bad boys and make this game a little bit easier. like I said, this team really doesn't need me, but I'm here for them mentally because that's one thing I seem to be pretty good at, is getting people in the right zone mentally. And, I mean, whenever I have someone telling me I'm doing a good job at what I'm doing, I know that it probably speaks for everybody.
Right.
And the way I feel with this team is that they are the best players on the circuit, always have been. It may have took them a while to get together, but now that they're together, they're hitting their stride, and I think we have the potential to go down as one of the greatest Halo 3 teams in history. So, I mean, as their coach, I'm just there to make sure that everybody stays in check, doesn't do anything silly. If we're getting frustrated, calm them down.
Right.
And make sure that we don't lose focus of the objective game types, because sometimes that can get away from you.
Yeah. That's one of the things I've noticed from at least watching you guys play so far, is that your team seems to be one of the more calm teams, not necessarily up and aggressive. Like, I was watching you playing Status Quo, and I was watching the difference between your coaching style and T-Squared's coaching style, and I saw him kind of like furious in some of these times, and some of the other players just kind of getting frustrated, where you guys seem to keep your cool despite you were losing a few times. So how important is it to remain calm and collective during a game such as the championship finals?
Well, like I said, this game is all about mental toughness. It's competing game one to game two to game three, game four, game five if needed. If you're going to sit there and go into a game and lose and then not be able to, you know, keep your cool, then there's really, you've already lost the series. I mean, I believe it was said last year after BTH won the championships, it was that this team may have not swept anybody with a 3-0 and every single series went to game five, but not once in that tournament did we lose games back to back. It came down to us legitimately just having that focus and mental toughness to say, hey, we lost, but we're not going to let it happen again. And that's something that I see a lot on this team. We lose, and we come back like, we lost that? No. We're not going to let that happen again. And we just get out there and we run trains.
So how much of preparation do you do? Because I know for pro athletics, you usually have hours of tape watching and coaches strategizing. What kind of stuff translates from the athletic world to the gaming world in terms of preparation?
Well, practice is huge. I mean, you can't just sit there and let like little things go out asunder from what you're trying to get accomplished. Basically, whenever you have practice in mind, you gotta make sure you get in there every single day. You gotta do what you need to do. I watch a lot of VOD because I'm just a coach. So what I'm doing is I'm always like on live streams, watching rebroadcasts, seeing what teams do. And believe it or not, I'm sitting here actually looking at what the players are doing and listening to what they say. It's what the players say. I'm picking up on little call-outs that like I didn't know about, like learning little tiny call-outs for specific areas, learning what little things get to other teams that I can let my team know. Because, I mean, if you can get to the heads of the other team better, I mean, then by all means, that's part of the battle too. So I just go in there, do a little bit of studying by watching VOD, and I probably say that I really don't hardly play Halo at all anymore. I mean, I've just gotten to a point where I just know the game really well, and I don't think the times are ever going to change. So,
right.
I mean, as long as I know how to do the dirties.
Might for Reach a little bit, but
yeah.
Halo 3 is kind of the same.
Reach will be a very unique game, so yeah. We'll have to see what happens there.
Also, this, as being the last Halo 3 tournament, you have some interesting, quote-unquote, achievements that you will attain from if your team ends up winning this tournament. Talk a little bit about that.
All right, well, basically, if Final Boss is able to pull off this tournament, there are several ridiculous achievements that will happen. Probably the most important thing is that Final Boss will end like the same way Halo 3 started. Final Boss started off the Halo 3 with a win, and they're going to end it with the last three tournament wins. Once, I think, finally establishing a true dynasty of Halo 3. Basically, no team's ever able to pull off the three-peat. And basically, with the three-peat, I'm kind of hoping that the first time for everything. But basically, with me personally, I mean, this will be my sixth tournament win if we can do it, and I'll be the only coach ever to win two national championships, not to mention they're back-to-back. Also, with the team, we have Ogre 2 competing for two national, only person to compete for four national championships. And Pistola will be trying to tie up with Elamite for most Halo 3 event wins.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot riding on this tournament right now, so I'm kind of hoping that we're able to pull off something really big here and just really just set the bar and make history with this team.
Fans, eh?
No, that's the Red Bull guy.
Oh, okay.
Zach Weigel of Gamers for Giving.
Okay. Very nice. On top of team achievements, is this going to be the second championship you would have won in a row?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It's a pretty amazing feeling to think that I'm sitting here getting ready to go into the winner's finals against Instinct in a couple hours. Last year with Bleed the Hype, it was a roller coaster ride because everybody had us rode off making fifth or sixth place. They're like, Anaheim, that's going to happen all over again. You guys are going to play someone good and then choke. Well, everybody came in and played Lights Out Halo, and we were able to surprise every team out there. And with the exception of TD, it's the only team we didn't play, I don't think. And they had an unfortunate issue happen with Classic, and I mean, I think that we could have very easily been playing against TD. And I mean, I don't know. I think things could have been even crazier if TD had been in the finals with us. Basically, I mean, each national championship is different, and this one I have a feeling is going to mean so much more than the other one. I actually feel like I'm truly a connected part of this team. Like, they want me to be on this team. They enjoy me. They enjoy hearing me. My voice just sticks out to them, and I feel like I'm at home, finally. So It's taken me 3 years, but I finally
got home. You're kind of like the older brother in the sense.
It really does feel that way. Like, at first I was thinking, oh, you know, these guys aren't going to like me. They just picked me up because I have a good reputation of being a coach. And believe it or not, we connected really well. I've made, I think, really good friends with these guys, and they listen to my voice. They trust me. I've had situations where Victory X has been like, what's the exact time on OS? And I've seen him jump out, grab, and get a burn when he has no shield and get a kill out of the situation. Just listening to my call-out, jumping on the OS exactly when it's supposed to be up. And, I mean, there have been some really, really close times where my call-outs have come down to, like, really affecting the way our team plays. And sometimes it's been good. And unfortunately, there's also been some bad.
Right.
But, I mean, then again, no one's perfect. And I think the times that I think the good outweigh the bad so far in this tournament, which is good.
So for something like the championship, you're pretty much, like, one game away from the championships. What's kind of going through your head right now, and what kind of emotions are building up that might affect gameplay later on?
The only thing really going through my head is I can't believe we're here again. I mean, it's everybody kept saying, oh, you know, it's the curse, you know, no one wins three, you're not going to make it, whatever happens, you're not going to make it, you can't be there. And I'm thinking to myself, like, everybody else on my team has the same attitude of, you're kidding, right? We just won two tournaments. You guys don't have the same mental focus, obviously, because we actually practiced in between tournaments. I mean, we went to the LAN, and things didn't come out the way we thought they would, but, I mean, I think Status Quo won the LAN, and Instinct had, like, the best ratio. But, I mean, all it was for us is just a way to keep our shot good. And, I mean, basically, we're going to come into this tournament, and we're still on fire. And if Fear Itself and Pistola are playing out of their minds again, I don't see anyone touching us for the rest of this tournament.
Right.
Last night they were heating up, and the attitude just seems exactly where it needs to be. I've coached champions before, and the attitude feels even better than it did last year. So,
well, that sounds good for your team, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, I want to make history. I want to leave my mark in MLG, right. And if I get that opportunity, that's what I'm looking for.
Do you agree with Max, my pro guy? Just when you go out, he's to your right.
Okay.
So let's talk about the transition to Halo Reach for MLG. This is the last Halo 3 tournament, which is going to make history. Good luck to your guys' success. But let's talk about the Reach dynamic and what you've done to maybe prepare for it. Have you focused on Halo 3 for pretty much this whole series, or have you kind of played Reach to get used to it? And what are your expectations for going into Reach for next year?
Well, being on a Florida connection, I have a little bit of a ping problem. So in Halo 3, my shots didn't ever register. So playing Reach has immediately built up my confidence of my potential to play in that game. I think in my first couple days of playing, I played against a bunch of pros, Maniac, Demon D, and I felt like my shot is, I wouldn't say on a pro level, but it has the potential to be a very good shot. And, you know, looking at Reach, I think online play is going to be a little bit more tolerable. West Coast, East Coast, is not going to matter too much. I mean, but as for really focusing on, like, everything it needs to be focused on, like I did in Halo 3, I really haven't spent too much time on it. Basically, I would say that I've spent maybe a full day of playing since the game was played, 24 hours worth of playing on that game. I mean, the game just isn't that important, really, and to me, when it comes to what's at hand. But I mean, I've been focusing on other games that don't even matter at all to MLG.
Right.
I'm a big Fable 3 and Force Unleashed 2 fan. I mean, those games are what sparked my interest lately, and I mean, that's what I wanted to play. And I played Reach for a bit, but I mean, it's just Halo again, and I'm about Haloed out for the season. I think I'm going to take a 2-month break, come back, focus really big on it, and I mean, I'm pretty sure FB's going to keep me, so I'm hoping that I can pick up everything I need to pick up on during the 2 months of offseason that I'm going to have, and get back on that horse and help us win another championship and come March or April.
Sounds good to me. So the game dynamic, at least from what I've played, is quite different in Reach than it was from Halo 3. Where Halo Reach, you actually have the hit scan, where from Halo 3 it was actually host-based, whether you got hit or not. What kind of little dynamics or little changes like that in the game, really, how does that affect your team dynamic?
Well, I think what's going to be the biggest thing that you're going to be surprised to see is the fact that when you look at people in Halo 3 that can test these times whenever they're one-shot, like, you're going to see a lot more people play a lot more passive, not wanting to die now. Because in Halo 3, there's a potential for basically you to miss out on shots. Like, at the very last second, you can miss shots. And, I mean, I don't think it's going to be the case in this, because with this game, it's hit scan. I mean, if you shoot someone in the head and you take your time on it, you're going to be able to get it. And basically, I'll say, and basically in this one, I mean, with the hit scan, it's going to change the way everything's played. So it's going to be a lot more passive. You're going to have people out there that aren't going to be contesting as much. And I think overall, it's going to be a team-based game more now because of that. So.
Right. So what do you think about the bloom effect that Bungie has added to Halo Reach? It's kind of almost taking the Call of Duty approach. How do you think that'll affect the game? Because there's probably going to be instances that some of the pros are going to want to spam and get someone quickly, but then there's going to be those times where you're going to need to really pace yourself to get someone. So how is that going to change the way that you think about playing?
Well, the bloom doesn't affect it too much, but I can see situations where people get frantic. I mean, it comes down to your mental toughness again. Like, this, every single video game is going to be about your mental toughness. And, I mean, it's going to be about who's going to be able to have the focus to slow it down and get that last shot. I mean, the whole point of spamming is so you can get their shields out a little bit quicker. But when it comes down to it, that last shot is the one that matters. So I think it's going to add a unique style to it. I don't really like it, to be honest. But, I mean, it's the game and how it was made. I've complained about it since the beta. I mean, I think they should just make a game where you shoot something, it should immediately be what you shot. I mean, in my personal opinion, you're dealing with a 2,000-pound Spartan. Again,
bro? Are we doing
we
it?
We might.
I'm down.
We might, yeah.
It comes down to you're doing it. You have a 2,000-pound Spartan holding a 30-caliber bullet,
yeah.
And he's like sitting here firing this thing. It shouldn't be that much of a bloom. So, in my opinion, I think Bungie should have realized we're dealing with a superhuman android here. I mean, come
it's
on.
Massively robotic.
I mean, you're huge. I don't think Master Chief's going to get, like, you know, have to deal with a bloom on a small Magnum handgun.
But again, this is the experimental Spartan 3, supposedly. So.
Yeah. I guess so. But still, even in that, I've always felt that anybody in that sort of area of being a Spartan should
right.
not be that much affected by a
right.
bloom.
And then there's the whole gravity thing, too, because I overheard some of pro guys talking yesterday when I was playing around with them a bit, and how they were trying to, I think some of them were participating in the Halo Reach tourney, and they were talking about the differences between Halo 3 and Halo Reach, where the gravity in Halo Reach is a lot further tuned down because you're a Spartan 3 and everything else. So it's interesting to kind of see how those dynamics are going to affect pro players for next season.
I'm just surprised. I feel like a rock when I'm playing that game. I really can't seem to be getting up. It's like I'm sitting here trying to hop on stuff and I just can't get over it. And I don't know. I feel really heavy in the game. I don't really like it. I'm hoping that it'll change up. Like, I don't know, I haven't really played around in Forge. I've played maybe, like I said, 24 hours
right.
and no custom games hardly at all. I've just done matchmaking basically and haven't really focused on too much anything else.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a unique game, and everything about it is going to be pretty cool, so.
Yeah.
New game, new things to get used to. I mean, I didn't like the BR in Halo 3, got used to it. Didn't like the drop weapons dirtying, got used to it. I'm pretty sure that I'll get over the, gravity and the few little things that irk me, like the bloom.
Right. Now, from the stuff that MLG has released, the two maps that I've seen so far, I don't know if there are any more, but it's Sanctuary, and they've kind of meddled it out and made it to where all the grenades are predictable. And then Ivory Tower seemed like the other one, where you have, I think, Sprint and Jetpack are the two loadouts that are permitted
hologram
as well.
Too. Hologram, I believe.
Hologram?
Unless they edit it, I think it's Hologram, bottom center on rockets. But, yeah, they have a jetpack up on the turrets, and they have a hologram in the center. I'm not really a fan of the power-ups. I mean, I think it creates a unique view, but I mean, in the same way, it's like I'm a bumper jumper player from Halo 3, and because of the lack of customization in the Halo games in general,
yeah.
I feel like I'm sitting here having to use like a default setting just to stand a chance, because if you're playing on X, you have to commit to a bumper jumper, and at least in Halo 2, when you played on a default, you didn't have to claw really for too long. You only clawed for a second to get your double shots or your BXRs
right.
or BXPs off. In this game, it looks like you're having to commit to it for like a a seriously large amount of time, and I really don't want carpal tunnel, so I'm kind of hoping that they put out an update where you can, you know, switch up your control settings, whatever you know feels best for you, because right. without the you're not allowed to use the, I think they're like a controller Onza or something like that, something Onza controllers, Forza Onzas or something like that.
Huh.
But they're like where you can customize your entire controller,
yeah,
and put any button anywhere you want. And I mean, they don't have that for MLG because
yeah.
they're looking out for potential modding of those controllers.
Fallout 3 has this, the same kind of deal where you can custom map everything. And it's still kind of surprising why they haven't allowed that either. It's almost the same thing how they don't allow you to put your weapon down in online play, even though the combination to do it is complex and it would take like a full second to even do it. It's just those little things that kind of seem that it would be obvious to put them in a game, but you don't. Another thing I think would they would have done by now with MLG is put like a spectator mode where a ninth person can go in and just spectate and have a fly cam. I think that would be kind of interesting for from an MLG aspect to have dedicated people flying through the level to get different angles on a live feed and a quick replay.
I've actually been begging for that for the past 3 years. Since Halo 3 came out, I've always thought, man, it'd be so cool if I could just sit there in the game with my team while they're going. I could be like, hey, look, you know, I could sit here at Overshield, and I could tell you, like, what time it's up. But I think the only problem with that is that, like, I'm imagining the coach would actually be able to just go anywhere on the map. Like,
I'm not saying necessarily from a coach's perspective, but from, like, a TV perspective, allow that spectator.
Oh, so just like a death screen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I could see something like that. That'd be really cool. I thought you meant, like, free-fly mode, like you're the, what do they call it, the Oracle, the Forge mode. I say, I think that would create, that would
no,
create
yeah,
terrible
like Death Cam, where you could fly around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, I think that'd be really cool. You create a new little thing. A coach would actually do something with his team whenever they're practicing.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't be much, but obviously I would love to have that. I mean, just keeping my team focused on the little things like OS and rocket times.
Right. I mean, it's just like the StarCraft and the WoW stuff, how they have the spectator modes
yeah.
for that. And, I mean, it's not a big game on the Xbox, but TF2 also has a spectator mode as well, where you can go in, you still take up a slot, but you can watch the game from anyone's point of view, or you can fly cam, or whatever. So it's just kind of funny how, from an MLG standpoint, Bungie hasn't really invested the expertise in putting that in there. So, just... probably one of those things that we would like to see but we don't.
Yeah, I think they were kind of in the mindset of let's just get this game done, because from what I've been told, I believe they sold the rights for Halo
to Microsoft,
and from what I've been told is they're going to do it a lot like the Call of Duty now, or they're just going to try to release a title for it every year. So I mean, I don't know, it's going to be a unique ride. I'm kind of hoping that they don't ruin the name that Halo's built up over these past years.
Right now, you mostly are focusing on the multiplayer aspect of Halo. Do you follow kind of the Halo storyline at all, kind of as a side piece? Or
I've played every single campaign of every single Halo game, including Halo Wars, Halo ODST. I've never read the books, unfortunately. I've wanted to, and like I don't have a library card. I don't. I really don't. I'm scared
of the
library.
I can
sit you by
for a while.
I'm down. I've never actually seen the books anywhere in a store, so I've never really made an attempt.
Really?
I'm actually into Dan Brown, a little
okay.
bit more of an intense drama style. So, I mean, I don't think I could ever get into, like, an action-adventure novel.
Okay.
But, for the most part, the storyline, I'm pretty in tune with it, I think.
Right.
I like to think I am, at least. Probably boggle my mind a little bit, give me some intense facts, and I'd probably be like, really?
Yeah.
So...
now, it's definitely an interesting storyline. I think the books complement the games really well. So you're waiting for the results of two more teams, correct, for your finals?
Well, we just watched Believe the Hype. And we're watching Believe the Hype and Status Quo right now.
Yeah,
and
that's on the big screen.
Right now, it looks like Status Quo's up 2-0 on Believe the Hype and up by like 30 seconds here on
right.
you know, Game 3, Contra King. But I just watched my team, my favorite team, Dynasty, losing to TD
right.
3-0, and that was, or 3-1. That was unfortunate. I'm a big fan of Hines and in the clutch. I mean, Hines brought me into the league he pretty much noticed that I had the potential to focus on what a coach needs to be. And Wes was the first person I won a national championship with. So,
yeah.
I mean, I was really sad to see them get eliminated. But I'm hoping that they'll be amazing in Reach because they're both extremely talented and great team players in this game. So I'm hoping that, I'm praying that it can actually help them go over in Halo Reach because they're amazing individuals. They deserve to be at the top.
So out of all the players here at MLG, who do you think is probably the best for this championship, including your team, including the other team as well?
I'll put it like this. I said it earlier. The one person I want in front of me every single game, I got your Pistola. His average gameplay is better than a lot of people's best gameplay. Like I said, he ended the Carbon Series with a plus 20, plus 49 for the tournament. I mean, he can take a team and put that team on his shoulders any given time. I'd have to say a second, I'd want to have Fear Itself. I've never had a better friend when it comes to people that I want on my team. And he's just very respectful, listens to my call-outs. I mean, everyone listens to my call-outs, but he's that guy who he'll be like, Maz, what time? And I'll give it to him, and he'll be there for me every time. And, I mean, Pistola, monster. There's nothing else you can say about it. He's ridiculous.
Despite his young age, he's really good at the game.
Oh, even with his own young age, I think that's what makes him as amazing as he is. He's young, and he's not really been exposed to any like true corruption yet, like all these other people. A lot of people seem to have focus on like females or partying or just doing their own little thing. And I mean, he's just. He enjoys the game. He hangs out with his friends. And, I mean, that's really what these tournaments... That's why I come to the tournaments. I thought about... after I was released from TD, I thought I was pretty much done. I was like, man, I'm going to be done with this. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go back one more time for my friends. And I got them to leave the hype. And, you know, we got sixth. I was like, yeah, maybe I'll stick around with this. We got ninth. I was like, okay, I'm about done. Stick around for one more tournament, man. It's all right. Stuck around for one more tournament. We got fifth. They're like, come on, we'll pay for you. And I'm like, all right.
One more time.
So one more time. National championship. I'm like, maybe there's a reason I haven't quit yet. I mean, I'm here for my friends, but I'm having the most fun I think I could possibly have.
Right.
And I'm still somehow being successful with it. I mean, I've been on three different teams that have won, and I've won two times more than anyone else. And I'm hoping if I can win this tournament, I'll be three times more than anyone else in Halo 3. And that'll be intense. So, I mean, I will surpass Triple X, who has been, like, the guy I looked up to for overall coaching wins in a career. And I've done it in 3 years. That's what I want. I want it so bad.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I can't even say enough about it.
Very nice. Well, I think I only have a few more questions. And then we'll wrap it up. But it turns out you have a fairly good singing voice.
Oh my, yes.
And
told us.
We're probably going to record this a little later. He's going to sing a redub of Journey or something.
No,
a remix.
It's a parody. It's a parody of
parody,
Jason Mraz's I'm Yours. I'll give you a little backlog on it. It's a song I wrote when I was playing a couple games with Roy and Lunchbox on Xbox Live back in, like, I think it was, like, before Columbus 2009, right after I was released from TD. I wrote this song because we were just sitting there playing this matchmaking game, and this guy was, like, bacon bit, and there was, like, a couple of different numbers behind his name, and it was just, like, the worst possible teammate you could have ever imagined. He was just never the place he needed to be. It seemed like he was baiting us. Roy, one of the best players in the league, was like, hey guys, I'm going to grab Snipe. And he would be sitting there waiting for it. He would grab it, waste every shot. He got like one body kill with the entire like 12 shots. And we're like, really? And he would just charge every time in the Slayer game. It's just ridiculous. And eventually we just got to the point where we're just like, are you serious, dude? Why are you doing this? What are you doing? And he just quits out. And we're just like standing there like, why didn't you do it at the beginning of the game? We're down by like 10 kills now. We have no chance. So, I mean, yeah, it was, it inspired me in a way. I wound up writing the song, and I'm giving him credit for it 100%. It's called Random Fourth, and I've been told it's a pretty good song. I've had it for 2 years, and I've never had a chance to produce like an actual video for it. But from what I've told, it's a pretty decent song, and the lyrics are very funny. So,
oh, I thought it was great the other night.
It was. Like I said, I was really happy that everybody seems to be liking it. So, I'm hoping that the community will think of it as like a really good song, and Heck, maybe I might build my fan base up a little bit. Magic the Singer.
MLG coach and singer.
Next Sinatra.
Start your
next
own
Sinatra.
Very nice. So what's been your favorite venue kind of out of all the places that you've been so far? Yeah, I know Dallas is the championship here, but is there like another place that kind of stands out because of the environment or how the feel of the place is, or what's kind of your favorite?
My favorite place, I have to say Orlando. It's the only place that I've won twice at. I won Dallas 2008 with TD, and I mean, it's been 2 years, but maybe this venue will be nice to me again and let me get a win. The last time I was here wasn't so nice. I got a 9th place finish with BTH, and that was one of the lowest parts of my career. And it was after that, though, I was able to come back and somehow make something happen with BTH. So, I mean, I'm kind of hoping that this event will be a memorable one, and I'm pretty sure if we were able to pull something off, this will become my favorite event. I mean,
very nice. So, how long do you plan on coaching MLG, and then after that, what do you kind of see yourself doing?
Well, I'm actually trying. I've lost like 50 pounds since the start of the season. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to lose enough weight where I'm eligible to join the Air Force, because I've always wanted to join the Air Force. I want to be involved in pararescue, you know, jumping out of helicopters into the water, mainly search and rescue for the Air Force. It's what I've always been interested in, health, and to be honest, I want to be a nurse. I think I'd be really good for it. I have the personality to be one of those guys that has really good bedside manner.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of hoping that that's what I can do. But as for coaching, I'm going to continue coaching for as long as I'm allowed to coach teams. I mean, if these teams keep picking me up, I mean, I'm going to stick around as long as it's allowed. I mean, I have a lot of friends. I've made a lot of friends I'm going to be friends with forever. And I mean, I'm kind of hoping that it's just something that we can make, I wouldn't say into a career, but into a really good hobby, a lot like what I consider NASCAR fans.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They travel around the country to watch a race. I mean, if you're sitting there and you travel like 8 hours to watch people drive, I mean, it takes dedication. And how I feel is that I'm willing to fly for 3 hours, drive for an hour to the airport just to come here and watch Halo and coach a little bit while in the process. I mean, I'm more than willing to commit to that. So, yeah, I'll do it as long as they'll allow me.
Very nice. Well, thank you for taking the time to sit down with me.
No problem. It's great.
Good luck in the championships.
Thank you.
I hope you win.
Me too.
And hopefully we'll see you around next year.
For sure, dude.
Maybe get another interview.
Oh, always. I'm really, really down for interviews. I like social media, so I'm anytime.
Very nice. Well, thank you again very much.
Oh, you don't mind if I do a couple shout-outs, do you?
Go for it.
All right, I wanted to give a shout-out to one of my main sponsors, UOR, UnionReachGaming.com. They sponsored us for this event for Final Boss. They're a really great sponsor. They treat us really well. I've never asked for a nice, great community to have behind us. Some of the biggest FB fans out there. Amazing. Shout-out to Gunner Optics and Astro Gaming.
I was going to mention that earlier.
They provide me with like the greatest equipment a coach could ever want, and their equipment is absolutely flawless.
Talk about their glasses a bit.
Their glasses are amazing. I've got so many of them. I can't stop. Basically, I'm wearing right now. We're just sitting here. I wear them everywhere. I got my halogens model, white themed cloud, and with the amber frames, or amber lenses. And basically, I wear these literally almost all the time. I have a couple different models I wear because I don't want these ones to get ruined.
Right.
But I wear my gunners literally at all times. It just seems to give me a little more definition, whether I'm just watching TV, watching a computer screen, or if I'm just walking around in real life. It's got that tint that keeps the glare out of my eyes. And I mean, at the same time, it's like it gives me that little bit of a magnification on little things that I need without giving me that over magnification, giving me a cross-eyed. I mean, they're stuff can be used anytime. I've got sunglasses from them. Their sunglasses are ridiculous. I feel like I'm wearing a $300, $400 pair of Prada glasses with the new model they just put out. They have a new model that just released called the Cortez, and it is phenomenal. It literally looks like a Prada pair of glasses. And
wow.
They're affordable, and they're meant for gamers. So,
yeah. I'm not quite ready to drop the $80 on them, but maybe eventually I will.
Oh, well, if you ever decide to make the investment, it's well worth it.
Yeah. Any other shout-outs you had?
No, that's pretty much it for shout-outs. Besides my team, hoping Mr. D's gets better, and that's really the people that matter. You know, my family, they are supporting me, so I don't really have to give them shout outs. They don't really watch or listen to any of this stuff.
Right.
They just know I do it.
Very nice. Well, again, thank you for taking the time
out
of your busy schedule sit down with us.
Not a problem.
Yeah, we'll see you guys. We'll see you next year, hopefully.
Hopefully in the championships and maybe an interview or something afterwards.
Very nice. Well, you heard it here, guys, on Podtacular. I am Dustin, and we'll see you guys probably later when we record your singing, right?
Oh, sure.
Very nice. Okay, see you guys later. We'll be right back.